So today, the message title is, Do You Love Me? And so it's going to be speaking on that thing about with Peter coming from John chapter 21, and we'll get to that very shortly. But I want to show the next image, Malin. Do you remember something like this back in grade school? I want to ask you very quickly, who in here received a little note like this back in grade school? Anybody? Okay. Now, who in here wrote one of these? Anybody? Okay, we got a few. Well, ironically, I've never received one, and I've never sent one, but I was more one of those kids who had a crush on their teachers all the time, and I couldn't help it. I was born older. But anyway, the fact is, this is something kids used to write, and I think his name, there's a country song named Do You Love Me or something, Check Yes or No by George Strait, is that right? Does anybody know that song? Anyway, there's a country song on there, and I think it's cute. And the video that goes with it is kind of cute. But this is something we would do as a grade school level. But what I want to talk to you about today is this use of the word love. Okay. We all know that Peter, he denied the Lord three times. And we all know that in this section of scripture we're going to study today, that the Lord reinstituted Peter and he used the word love. But the thing is, there are different shades of the word love. Okay, and we're really going to focus on those different shades. But when we read this scripture, we've heard it preached, and we think, well, how gracious that Jesus Christ is to take Peter, who failed him miserably. And by the way, that's a picture for all of us. Peter failed the Lord miserably to the point to where he denied him not only three times, but at the end with cursing. He wanted to make sure nobody could associate him with Jesus Christ. So on the third denial, he cursed to prove that he was not one of the Lord's. But what if, let me ask you this question, what if this exchange has a little more into it than what we've probably realize, and hopefully we're going to discover that, but I'm going to do my level best to kind of lay the groundwork as to what the Greek, and by the way, that's what the New Testament was written in. It was originally written in the language of Greek, okay? So some of the words in the Greek are translated the same, but not necessarily mean the same thing. Okay, let me give you an example. We want to better understand what love is. Now, if I were to ask anybody here, what's your definition of love? I'd probably get, I don't know how many people are here, we'd probably get that many different responses. Some of them would be close. But let me give you an example in my own life. So, I love my wife. She loves me. And sometimes when it's our birthday or anniversary or whatever, and she'll post something on Facebook, and she'll say sometimes things like, he's the love of my life and he's my best friend. Do you realize all of those are examples of how you express the word love? So let's take those two. Best friend. All of those kinds of loves are strong. They're deep. But they don't necessarily mean the same thing. I'll give you an example. I may have a best friend, but I don't know that I would, you know what I'm talking about? We go out of our way. I know you girls over there, y'all call each other BFFs, which I think is kind of ironic because it's hard to have a multiple best friend. But I know what you mean. I know what you mean. Best friends forever. You'd go out of your way. You do anything. You make a phone call, I'm there. If you're my best friend, I'm there. I'll be there to help you. But what kind of love does it take when it's somebody you don't like? Now, you might think, well, how can you love somebody you don't like? Well, the scripture tells us to love our enemies. These are people either we don't like or don't like us, but we're told to love our enemies. Well, wait a minute. How does that work in the scripture? Because don't you have to like them before you can love them? So love, in that sense, and being a best friend can take on two different shades. Now, keep in mind, and I'm trying my best to keep it down to a simple level, because even I have a hard time grasping this, and so I'm probably going to have some difficulty explaining what I'm talking about. But we have to lay this foundation before we get into the scripture. So being a best friend is having extremely strong feelings towards somebody, right? If you think about it this way, we always have heard the term love at first sight. Well, that kind of love is not necessarily a committing kind of love. How do I know that? Because relationships break up all the time. People can be in love, quote unlove, one day and next day they broke up. You know, they don't want to see each other again. That's not love. That's the kind of love that starts out as friendship. Okay? If a boy is attracted to a young girl, it typically starts out that you have feelings for that person. You want to be with them. You want to share activities. You want to be around them. Okay, that's friendship. That's a different kind of love. But when you finally make a decision, not by the heart, but of the mind, that I want to spend the rest of my life with this person, that's a different kind of love. That's a committed, a devoted kind of love. And we'll get into that a little more late here in just a little bit. But it involves commitment, it involves sacrifice. In our marriage vows, what do we say? For better or for worse? We're committed. We're not just friends. We love each other in a mind, a decision way. So let me show this. Let me show this. In the Greek, and we're going to study this here in just a minute. I'm just laying the foundation right now. So let's show the next image. I have this software on my phone that has what's called the King James Version Plus. And what that plus means is it shows me the Greek words that are on there. So when I read John chapter 21, verse 15, you can see immediately, I have them highlighted there, the word love that Jesus used is a different number, G25. That means the Greek word, the 25th word that they've got listed. But then when Peter responds, he uses a different Greek word. You might be thinking, well, why is that important? We'll get there. We'll get there. So there's different shades of meaning. And by the way, both of them are deep. Both of them are strong. But they're not quite the same. Not quite the same. So here we have this by eSword Lite. It's a free app, by the way. And it comes with a few Bibles that you can download for free. Others, if you want, you can purchase them. I have most of them. But here's the thing I want to say. The two words that are used up here that are different are still the kind of words you may die for someone. What do I mean? Military out on the battlefield could be somebody's best buddy. And their best buddy is in danger. Another soldier may risk their life for that. Somebody may risk their life for a stranger simply because they are in danger. Okay? That's a different kind of love. That's not a love out of emotion, which, by the way, is what best friends are. It's a love out of emotions. It's the kind of love that you decide. You give your life to protect someone else. That's a different kind of love. That's the sacrificial love. So I want to show you this next screen here. The two words that I just showed you here, I'm going to go over the second one first. The Greek word is called phileo, okay? And here's the difference, and let's try to track this because it's going to become very important here in just a minute. Phileo is the type of word that denotes personal attachment, and it's more of a matter of sentiment. In other words, I feel something, okay? I feel something. Back when we were dating, I just felt something. I felt strong feelings back, and we all remember this. We feel something. And so we become devoted to a particular person. If we're dating, I don't know what they call it nowadays, but we used to call it going steady. That to me, that was different than just dating. Dating was just to kind of, you know, learn about who that person was. But then if you decided to go steady, that's kind of like, you know what? You're my best friend. You're my best friend. I want to be with you all the time or as much as I can. This is what comes out of emotion. We feel something. But in the Greek word, phileo, that's what it means. It's about the emotional aspect of it. So now let's move to the next word. Most of us have heard the word agape. Well, closely related to agape is agapeo. It's a Greek word, but this one comes from to love unconditionally. There are no restraints, no conditions, and it's sacrificially. So what does that mean? So this represents a devotion to someone based on the mind, based on a decision, based on the will. That's how you can love your enemies. It's a commitment to sacrifice for somebody you might not even like. I've actually heard people make the comment, they say, I have relatives that I would not want to invite them for my Thanksgiving dinner because I don't like them, but I'd cry at their funeral. And that used to puzzle me. You don't like them, but you'd cry at their funeral. Well, there's a different kind of love going on there. You see what I'm saying? But this emotional attachment to somebody, especially when somebody decides to go steady, that's the phileo type. You're my best friend. I love being around you because there's just something about you. I want to be with you all the time. That's phileo type of love. Agape kind of love is where you might not even know the person and you'd be willing to die for them. Think about it. Self-sacrificial type of love. Where else might that have been used? Well, let's think of it this way. Were any of us worthy for Jesus Christ to die for? Absolutely not. But guess what? I didn't put it up here, but in John 3:16, we all know this. For God so loved the world, the agape type of love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So now, let me ask you this question. What if Jesus was probing Peter during this exchange for something a little more, something a little deeper? Okay, let's kind of explore that. So let's begin with how it started, is what I call it. So in Matthew, I think it's chapter 26, let's read these three scriptures right off the bat. This is when Jesus basically was going to the cross, and he had told the disciples and Peter, all of them together, he said basically tonight that all of you will be offended because of me. Okay, offended, that's an interesting word. You're going to act like you don't know me because of me. And then Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Wow, Peter's making a strong statement. You can count on me, Lord. That's what he's saying. Verse 34, Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Three times. Peter saying, you know what? If anybody else lets you down, not me. And Peter says, Jesus says, no, before the night's over, you're going to deny me. Three times. Well, Peter didn't stop there. The next verse. And by the way, we're just setting this up. And Peter said unto him, though I should die with you. Look at this. He's willing to die, he says. Yet will I not deny thee. Likewise, also said all the disciples. Nobody was going to abandon Jesus. They were going to stick with him no matter what. Well, we know how that story turned out. They all fled. And what made it worse, not only did they flee, Peter himself ended up saying, I don't know who that man is. Because everybody kept accusing him. And then when the third time happened and the rooster crowed, he understood what he had just done. He denied the Lord as even knowing him after spending at least 3 years with the man. He denied him. His heart wasn't in it, was it? So that was how it started. So now let's jump into what I really want to talk about here. So we're going to get into John chapter 21, verse 15. We're going to kind of go slow to start with because I've put in the different meanings of the word love here. So I'm going to read it straight first. So when they had dined, this is when Jesus showed up at the beach, kind of at the shore. They were out on the boat, and they said, hey, it's the Lord, and they rush, and they go to see him, and Jesus already has fish cooking there, and they have, I think it's breakfast. They had breakfast, and after they had finished their breakfast, they dined. Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him, this is Peter talking, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my lambs. Now before we go further, let's look at those words, love. And let me kind of rephrase it so that it might make sense. So first of all, Jesus reverted back to who? What did he call Peter? Simon. That's odd. Jesus changed Simon's name back to Peter, and now he's referring back to his old self. Does that make sense, folks? He reverted back to addressing Peter as his old self. You see, positionally, Peter was with the Lord. He was right beside the Lord. But when he denied him, he separated himself. He became his old self. So Jesus addresses Peter as his old self. But what Peter, or what Jesus is asking Peter, he says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Are you, Peter, fully devoted to me? Are you committed to me? And notice he said, more than these. He's referring to the other disciples. Peter, do you love me more than everybody else loves me? Jesus knew the other disciples would say, I love you, Lord. But Jesus is asking Peter, do you love me more than everybody else says they love me, Peter? We'll find out why he's pressing Peter on this question. And Peter responds back, Lord, you know you're my best friend. That's not what Jesus asked. He asked, are you fully committed to me? Are you devoted to me? Fully. And Peter says, you're my best friend. And then Jesus went ahead and said, well, feed my lambs. That is giving Peter back his leadership position. Okay, let's go to the next verse, verse 16. And this is Jesus talking. And he saith unto him again the second time, Simon, back to his old name again, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter responded, he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. And he saith unto him, feed my sheep. Again, reinstituting back into that leadership position. But notice the different words for love. Jesus asked Peter a second time, Peter, or Simon, are you fully devoted to me? That sacrificial kind of love. Are you willing to sacrifice everything for me? And Peter says, Lord, you know you're my best friend. That's not what Jesus asked. He says, I know you're my best friend, and you know it. You see how humble Peter is in this exchange? He's not that same guy who would stand up and say, Lord, if everybody abandons you, if they're offended at you, I'll never be. Even if I have to die, I'll never be offended at you. Well, that didn't work out so good. So I think, and I don't know this for certain, but I think Peter is being very guarded here. He's being very careful. Jesus is saying, are you willing to sacrifice everything you have for me, Simon? And Peter's response is, you know, you're my best friend. So, let's go to the next verse. Verse 17. And Jesus talking again. And he saith unto him the third time, because we know Peter denied him three times. The Lord is publicly acknowledging Peter as the leader and bringing him back into the fold. And he said unto him the third time, Simon, back to his old name, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Notice the different word here. Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, you know all things, and thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Now, it might not look like a whole lot of difference, but notice the twist that Jesus just did here. For the first two times, he asked Simon, back to his old self, he asked Simon, do you love me unconditional? Are you willing to sacrifice everything for me? And Peter responded, Lord, you're my best friend. Now, we know ourselves that we would probably do most anything for our best friend, but would we sacrifice everything for our best friend? You got to remember, Peter was married. Do y'all remember that? Peter was married. I think he might have been the only disciple. So what does this verse tell us? Jesus came down to what Peter was responding to. So let me read it to you in the way that the Greek says. So Jesus saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, are you really my best friend? You see what he's doing here? He's not asking, are you willing to sacrifice everything? He said, but are you really my best friend? And Peter was grieved, because the Lord was even questioning that. Are you really? You say you're my best friend, but are you really? Are you really my best friend? Peter was grieved because he keeps asking him, lovest thou me? But Peter comes back with the same thing. Lord, you are my best friend. Now you may be wondering, why? Why is that? And why is Jesus pressing Peter so hard on this? You see, Peter was so proud and arrogant that he had this tendency to speak before really there was anything worthy to say. I don't know if you remember when Jesus was on the mountain and there was that transfiguration. And the scripture actually says that Peter spoke up real quickly. He said, we need to build a tabernacle, three tabernacles on this mountain for Moses and Elijah and you, Lord. And the scripture adds this little bitty part, because he didn't know what else to say. Peter is very quick with the mouth. A lot of us are very quick with our mouths. And so Peter, when he came out and told the Lord that he'd die with him, I'll never leave you, I won't abandon you, and of course it happened. And I think the Lord, this is my interpretation, I think the Lord was pressing him on that. Are you willing to sacrifice everything you have for my sake, Peter? Are you? And Peter's like, well, you're my best friend. And that's as far as he would go. And the third time, it grieved him. It grieved him. But if you want to know why was Jesus pressing Peter so hard, you got to keep reading. Because the Lord is about to reveal something I don't know who in here would want to know ahead of time. Look at this next verse. Verse 18. Jesus continued after that three-verse exchange. He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, talking to Peter again, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and you walked whither you wanted to go. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee where you would not go. Jesus told Peter straight out, you will be crucified. Think about that. Could you have handled that knowledge? Peter's married. He has a wife. And the Lord is asking him, are you willing to sacrifice everything for me? And I don't think Peter was willing to come out and say, yes, I would sacrifice everything for you. You're my best friend, Lord. I'll do anything for you. But maybe not that. I don't know if that was in the back of his mind. But the Lord is letting him know ahead of time that you, Peter, when you get older, you're going to stretch out your hands just like Jesus did. And somebody's going to carry you to a place you don't want to go. And so the next verse tells us, this spake he, Jesus, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Jesus wanted to know, do you have that agapeo type love for me, Peter? This is the kind of love that is a decision. It's a decision I have to make that I'm going to follow Christ no matter what. That's called the agapeo type love. It's a Greek word. It's a type of love that I'm going to love him unconditional. If he asks me anything, I'm going to love him and do what he says. So Jesus was declaring unto Peter his future. I don't know if any of us could have handled this. If Peter was going to bolt, you would think this would have been the time to do it. Because when they thought they were going to be arrested, if you read the Gospels carefully, you'll find out that Peter actually drew a sword when they came to arrest Jesus. He drew a sword, ended up cutting off one of the soldiers' ear. And that might have been what he intended to do, but once it was done, he didn't know Jesus, he said. I don't know the man. So I think this exchange kind of is letting Peter know, are you willing to give everything you have for my sake? And I don't think, and I don't know, if Peter was willing to come to grips with that and say, yes, I would die for you, because he already said it once. And he didn't. He denied him. So the Lord even questioned, are you really my best friend? And so Peter says, yes, you're my best friend. So Jesus tells him ahead of time, you're going to be crucified. And if you go back and read history and tradition, it is believed that Peter was actually crucified upside down. I can't imagine. Upside down, because he said he was not worthy to die like his Lord. Wow, what a commitment he did. And so, yes, the next verse. Like I said, remember, Peter was married. And so then Peter, turning about, He sees the disciple whom Jesus loved. Look at that. That agapeo type love, fully devoted. This is Jesus, by the way. Jesus loved this disciple, but they saw him following along. They were starting to walk now, okay? Jesus said, "Follow me." And he must have got up and started to walk. And I imagine all the disciples started to walk with him. Well, Peter turns around and he looks at, I don't know what's special about John, why it was the disciple they called whom Jesus loved, but it's that agapeo love, the kind that he would sacrifice everything. And Jesus did, by the way. He sacrificed it all. He took on all of the sins of the whole world as if he committed each and every one. It was laid on him, and he was willing to die even for people who hated him. But anyway, Peter turned around and he saw this disciple who was following. And this is the same one, this was John, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, "Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee?" That's when Jesus had made that announcement that somebody was going to betray. And though verse 21, it says here, Peter seeing him, this would be John, he said to Jesus, he said, "Lord, what will this man do?" Pause and think a minute. Jesus just predicted Peter's future. He said, "You're going to die. You're going to be crucified. That's the kind of death you're going to have to glorify God." And I don't know what made Peter ask this question, but then he turns around and he looks at John and he goes, "Well, what about him? What's his future?" Isn't that how we all do? You know, we compare ourselves, you know, we think, well, you know, I'm not as bad as this person over here. I'm actually doing more things, blah, blah, blah. You know, we build up our own selves. And so here comes Peter. He looks at John. Well, what about this guy? Peter wants to know his future too. What's going to happen to John? And so in verse 22, he says this, and this is our next to the last scripture. "And Jesus saith unto him, If I will, or if I want, that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." So folks, this is what we do as Christians oftentimes, is we compare ourselves to each other. That's not what Jesus is asking. That same question that Jesus asked Peter is being asked of you today. Do you love Jesus to the point where you would commit everything? Everything to follow him. I saw a funny meme on the, y'all know what memes are? They're like little characters on a photograph and then somebody puts some funny words on there. But there's this one in particular that gets used a lot. It's a cat sitting at some kind of a table and these two ladies are mad and they're pointing their fingers at the cat and they're saying something. And these two ladies yell out to the cat, they say, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And then the next caption, the cat says, "You miss church when it rains." Bad weather keeps people out of church. And I looked at that and I chuckled like everybody else did. I chuckled at that, but I thought, you know, that's the difference between agape love and phileo love. Hopefully you will see that. But you see, our commitment cannot be compared to someone else's commitment. And this is the bottom line that Jesus is saying to us. So let's kind of go over, and I wrote some notes so I wouldn't forget these. But Peter's denials, first of all, we know that Peter's denials were public. And they were public knowledge. Everybody who was in that circle knew about it. So this whole exchange reinstated Peter back, and he had to do it publicly. Okay, that's part of the reason that had to be done. But also the other disciples. Remember, they all said that they would die for Jesus. Remember, I read it to you at the beginning there in Matthew chapter 26. They said, you know, after Peter made that boastful remark, all the other disciples said the same thing. "Yes, Lord, we'll do the same thing." So they had to hear Peter's reaffirmation of love, committed love, agape type love, although Peter was reluctant to use that, so that he could be reinstated back into the leadership position. Okay, so I'm moving to close here. So I want you to ask yourself, think about this for a moment. Put yourself in his shoes, Peter, okay? Why do you think he denied Jesus after saying that I won't be offended at you, I won't let you down, I'll die, I'll go to the grave for you, Lord? So why do you think he denied him? It's a common emotion. Fear. He was afraid. Peter denied the Lord because he was afraid. That's the emotion that took over. It overcame his emotion for devotion to the Lord. That's the difference of phileo love. It's that best friend type love. Maybe somebody's your best friend, but if it came down to losing everything, including your family, if you had to die for that best friend, would you? And that's what the Lord was asking Peter. What would you have done different? If you were in Peter's shoes, what would you have done different? Would you have died right then, knowing you had a wife at home? Would you? I mean, think about that. If you had a spouse at home, so that's the same question Jesus is asking us. Do you love me with that agapeo type love? Are you willing to sacrifice everything to me? And you might think, well, he wouldn't ask us such a thing. Give me a moment and I'll show you. Or are you going to have that emotional attachment? That's what I'm talking about, phileo type love, best friends. I want to hang out. I want to do things together with you, Lord. Lord, I like it when you send us out and we heal people. Boy, that's exciting stuff. Let's keep that up, Lord. But that's not what the Lord asked him. That's the best friend kind of love. The Lord was saying, do you have that sacrificial, committed kind of love? So I'm going to read these notes that I got here because this is important. So the agapeo type love means it's a godly love, to love sacrificially, give up everything, and to prefer above all else that object, which be Christ. The object of my love, sacrificial love, is a decision I make. Yes, I have emotions too for Christ. I do. I love Jesus. I love being with him. I love him being with me. I love that. But that's not the same thing. That's a phileo. That's my best friend type of love. The other kind of love is to sacrifice, willing to sacrifice everything. And so Jesus asked Peter if he prefers, he's saying to Peter, do you prefer me above everything else? You realize a lot of times we can't even lay our phones down to read the Bible. And we say we love God. Which kind of love is that? Phileo or agape? We can't even sacrifice our phone to read the Bible. So Peter kept responding, Lord, you're my best friend. In our day and time, we'd say, you're my bro. You're my bro. I'd do anything for you, Lord. And so Jesus kind of kept repeating the question until he said, are you really my bro? Really? Are you? And that's why Peter was grieved. So I asked myself, I've asked you all to do the same thing. I've asked myself, do I have that agapeo type love? Because I'm married. I've got children, I've got responsibilities, I've got all kinds of things in my life, but do I have that kind of love that would be sacrificial? That I would be willing to sacrifice everything? And I don't want to be like Peter and say, you bet I will. Because who knows, somebody may come test your commitment. You realize, think about this a moment, you realize that if you come to the altar and you pray and you ask the Lord to forgive me and all of this, and you go out, you feel great, you know, you got that best friend type of love. Jesus is my best friend. You got that type of love. And just like he taught about the parable of the soils, as soon as any kind of persecution comes up, somebody comes up and calls you a Jesus freak. I don't know if I use that term anymore. Or a fanatic. You're a fanatic. You're one of those crazy people, you know, like that. People fall away just for that. They do. They fall away just for a little bit of criticism. They don't have that agapeo type love. That's the fully devoted, committed, sacrificial type love. They have that best friend, that phileo type love. I want Jesus to be my best friend. So when I ask myself, do I have that kind of love? And I hope I do. I hope you do. Because one day it may be tested. One day. And you may say, well, the scripture never asks us to have that kind of love. That agapeo love, that kind of love that means I have to sacrifice everything, or at least be willing to. Well, let's look at the next scripture. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. We are to love the Lord with everything. It's that kind of love that's, like I said, it's to be fully committed. It's the difference between Dronda being my best friend, or am I committed to her for better or for worse? Do you have that kind of love for Jesus today? Think about it. We're going to open up the altar to pray. Ask yourself, what would I have done if I was in Peter's shoes? Glenn and I will be up here, and Gloria. We'll be glad to pray for anybody for any reason. All you have to do is come. But especially if you want to be deeper with the Lord, if you want to grow to that agapeo type love to where you are fully committed, no turning back. We sing that hymn sometimes, no turning back, no turning back. Heavenly Father, I hope and pray that I have explained the differences in the word love. And Father, I pray that as we examine ourselves right now, that we may want to renew our commitment to you, Lord. There may have been times in our life, Lord, that we were like Peter and that we didn't fully commit like we said we would. I know Peter failed and I know we failed, but God, I pray that our love, as you have commanded, that we are to love the Lord with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. With that sacrificial agapeo type love. Because you loved us with that kind of love when you gave your life on the cross. Father, I ask that you touch this congregation right now. In the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, amen.